It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Tuesday. Gary, how are you?
Well, I'm in idle right now. I need some motivation.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
All right, I guess if I was in idle, my engine was already started then.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
okay. Man, I got that wrong.
All right, okay.
Here we go.
Can't idle without the engine being started.
That's true. So
it's the rule of thumb, basically, when it comes to idling rules.
Hey, I had a long weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
okay.
Congrats to Leafy.
Yeah?
Yes.
Leafy. Did he get that name from the legalization process?
In Oregon? Because I was in Oregon. No, he did not.
No? Okay.
Didn't even think about it. No. It rhymes with his last, sort of rhymes with his last name. I guess that's where he got it from.
What's his last name? Spleefy?
Leffler.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So.
Oh, so they call him Leafy.
Yeah.
All right then.
So, but it was just he got married, him and his beautiful wife Lisa. It was just a great wedding ceremony. I had just a blast. I mean, it was in Friday, out Sunday, kind of thing. So it was great. It was. Great flight in, got some great pictures, a great video of Mount Hood. Oh,
right,
just,
good.
I mean, I love, you go right past it. It's like, wow. And then I look down at the base of Mount Hood and I say, right where Hood River is, Oregon. And I say, that's where I got my first hole in one.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Good.
You don't care.
No, I don't.
Yeah. I didn't think so.
Nope. The entire staff on the other side of the glass, they're shaking their head. No, nobody cares.
Doesn't anybody care?
Nope.
About my golf game?
Nope. I think we just made that clear.
okay. But the beauty of nature was there.
Oh.
The beauty of nature.
So yeah.
Forget about my golf. It was beautiful, beautiful nature.
Yeah. Well, good.
You go by it and you say, there must be a God. You go over the Cascades and it's like, whoa, man.
Yeah. Hmm. Good.
And it was cool, too. You know, the funny thing is when you travel across the country, there I was. And I really didn't get any sleep. But, I mean, I sort of dozed off, you know, your head nodding.
Mm.
And finally I went, where are we? I opened up the window. I looked down and I went, it's got to be Great Salt Lake. There's nothing else that can look like that. And it was.
Oh, so, good. Good.
So it was a great trip. Let me see. Anything else interesting? I did not encounter Antifa when I was there. So
okay. They have the day off or something? They take President's Day weekend off or something?
No. I think that they must have traveled to Nevada to see the Bernie Sanders rally.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, talking about stuff coming up, it seems as if Bloomberg is starting to get vetted, that coming up. The farmers and industrial workers comment, that on the way. All the fun seems to be at the Bernie rallies, though. Topless protesters, a brawl. He gives up the microphone again.
Of course.
He gave up the microphone again. Like, okay, there you go.
I mean, he can't have it any other way. I was reading to you the Politico story. Now, this is the second story that I've just, the second one that I've seen in the last few weeks from Politico saying, the Democrats really don't want Bernie to be the guy. And they were talking to a lobbyist who's actually worked for both Republicans and Democrats, but saying he's working for the Democrats right now in Texas, saying that we will be blanked if Bernie is the guy, that the party they won't win. And they're worried about the down ballot. They're worried about a number of things if he becomes the nominee. And right now in Texas, he's leading in at least a couple of different polls.
And he's leading in South Carolina?
Yeah.
In the last poll?
Yeah, you and I looked at, I think it was a Texas Tribune poll, UT Texas Tribune, I think is what it was last week. And he was leading by a couple of points there. in the state of Texas. And so if he starts to pick up this momentum, I mean, think about that. If he takes Texas and California on March 3rd, it's all over but the crying. I mean, Joe's going to have to do a lot of push-ups to get back in shape. I don't know how in the world he regains momentum because he's losing it by the moment. Do we have anything, by the way, from Nevada yet?
Yeah.
All right. So,
and I think, again, it's, hang on, because they had a poll that came, they've had two polls that that came out. The Las Vegas Review-Journal, which was the 11th through the 13th.
Yeah.
413 likely voters, so not a huge sample. But in that one, Sanders 25, Biden 18, Warren 13, Buttigieg 10, Steyer 11, Klobuchar 10. In the Data for Progress, this is a Democrat poll. So a Democrat pollster, Democrat poll. This is the 12th through the 15th with the bigger sample, 766 likely voters. Sanders, 35.
Wow.
Biden, 14. Warren, 16. Buttigieg, 15. Steyer, 10. Klobuchar, 9.
Nate Silver watching that forecast over the weekend. Not a poll, we want to remind people. 538.com, it's not a poll, it's a forecast. And right now, the brokered convention is still in the lead and was all weekend by at least 1 or 2 points over the weekend. The latest is 5 hours old, and no one is in the lead, which means brokered convention, no one getting the majority of the delegates. That's what that means.
Who was it over the weekend that said if it's a brokered convention that Hillary will be the one that will get nominated? I'm like, whoa, could you imagine?
Well,
this?
Yeah, I mean, this is the rumor going around over the weekend really picked up steam on social media that Bloomberg walks in with Hillary as the Veep pick.
Yeah, that was one. The other one was they would nominate Hillary.
They would just nominate her. Yes, right.
But could and then Bloomberg sort of backed off on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they sort of backed off a little bit.
Everybody's looking at that strategy as if this were 2016. As if she has the same draw that she did in 2016. I don't think that's the case. I mean, think about this. Biden's losing energy, but and the money's slowing down, but he still has plenty of money. He'll get through Super Tuesday. He'll get to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
Bloomberg can get as far as he wants to spend. And so you have that split there that I don't know how they clear that up. And, I mean, Bernie is gaining in the South. It's possible that he does get to 50. He gets to 50, though. What do you do? You're the DNC. How do you promote Bernie? What kind of campaign ads are you going to put out there? Embrace communism? America, it's about time you gave it up. Just fold like Bernie does at one of his own rallies. Just hand over your microphone, America. Your liberty, your freedom, all of it. Bernie knows better than you because you don't need all that deodorant.
It's time for the red states to really be red.
Exactly. You want to see red states? I'll show you red states. I don't know why I slipped into Bernie there. But I mean, seriously. I wonder if you've got a couple million Trump followers just sending in $10 a piece just to make him win. You know, the Politico article on Texas, focusing on Texas from the other day. It was they talked about it. They said, you know, you look at how he's gaining steam. But this is, you know, Republicans obviously want Bernie to be the guy. I mean, they do. Because I want it just for the entertainment. Forget the fact that Trump will win. I just want to watch and see what the DNC does.
What would be interesting, you know, we played the one woman in New Hampshire who said, well, I just voted for Bernie because the media was coming down on him.
Right. Well, no,
Is this a rejection? And I've seen a couple of articles on this. Is this a rejection of the Democrat establishment? And I mean, when I talk the Democrat establishment, I'm talking about, you know, what's been going on MSNBC and even CNN. Mm-hmm. And I saw an article over the weekend that said, you know, the media coming out now and dissing Biden, or excuse me, dissing Biden, coming out against Sanders. Mm-hmm. It's the media, as you and I said last week a bunch of different times, the media has been propping him up for the last 3.5-4 years.
Oh, yeah. Right. Look, they embraced him.
And now that he's
got real momentum, they're looking at it going, oh, crap.
They all embraced the Green New Deal, the new Green Deal. I just keep laughing over that one guy that was
said they were debating that whether it's the new Green Deal or Green New
Deal.
Right,
in Iowa, this was the caucus as he came out of, you know, his building, and the caucus was across the street at the church. And here are these people arguing on the steps of the church about whether it was a new Green Deal or a Green New Deal.
Yeah, right. No, but that's the left. That's the left today. But, right. You know, they built this. The media built this.
They built it,
They shouldn't be surprised. They embraced it. There was this euphoria in 2016 when he was gaining momentum out west. When that happened, that was, you know, the media was just all giddy. Now, either they were in on it with the DNC and the Hillary campaign, you know, to usher her in, and they knew he wouldn't get it. You know, does the leftist media need just enough Bernie to not be dangerous? Because Bernie winning is dangerous. Whether he wins the nomination or goes on to the White House, I don't even want to think about him winning.
You mean is dangerous? Is dangerous to their chances of winning? The danger would be twofold.
Well,
the one danger would be if they get bombed in their general election because he's a nomination. The second one is this is the point though. I think the concern of the Democrats is not if he wins the election. They could care less about that because mm-hmm. then they'll go back to supporting the policies that they support already. Their fear is that Sanders can't beat Trump.
Yeah, well, he can't. And they can't promote socialist, that full-on kind of spending. I mean,
here's my point. Yes, they can.
Well, they can edge toward it, but they're not going to. Who's going to approve another $6 trillion a year?
Well, the Republicans would probably stop them. My point is, yes, they can, is simply based on this. You had every single Democrat senator vote to remove a president of the United States sure. from office because he wished to follow the Constitution, and because this is the second one. I'm going to follow the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to go to the courts. The courts will decide the dispute between the legislative and the executive branch. And because he did that, they said, we want you removed from office. Remember, both articles are separate. You can get into the discussion all day if you believe that you could read Trump's mind on article number one. Article number two, without question, is the process of the Constitution of settling disputes. And because he wished to follow the Constitution to do it, every single Democrat senator voted to remove him from office. They are all radicals. They will vote for anything. I do not believe that they will say, well, this is just too much and we won't do it. Why not?
Well, I'd love to see that $6 trillion, because here's the because that's the price tag of his.
They'll settle for four.
Four's not quite as bad. The media's been all over it. Even the liberal media saying this price tag is James Carville calling him a communist and the comments by the left media. They're hedging. Here's the thing. They have been hedging for the last few weeks, ignoring the fact that, as you just, you know, pointed out, they're the ones that built this.
Yeah.
But honestly, There's no. Think about where the Democrats are right now. They know everything they've done against Trump is a loser. They know all the stuff that they have done is a loser. They know Bernie is a loser. What you have to ask yourself, what exactly, how far would they go if they were to win?
Yeah. Also coming up here on the show, the latest polls, we'll get to that specifically and a little bit more in depth of it because we've been waiting to see where they were going to go. We'll tell you about the celebrity who predicts climate change doom and believes you should change your lifestyle. Took a private jet to dinner. A new poll, conservatives self-censor and are more likely to have liberal friends than vice versa. Dershowitz makes the claim that Obama personally asked the FBI to investigate someone on the behalf of George Soros. Obama taking credit for the economy. And finally, aliens might be here on Earth. We just don't recognize them.
Yeah, we do.
They live.
We know who they are.
They live.
You got to put on your special glasses.
That's all I'm thinking about. The only reason I'm going to do that story is because I love the movie They Live.
Yeah. You got to put on your special glasses. You can see them. They're right there in front of you.
Plus, of course.
And right now, they're standing right behind you.
Bless your calls and comments. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Breaking news here from the last hour or so. The Boy Scouts of America filing bankruptcy.
Yeah. They say it's due to lawsuits, but frankly, you've got a situation where you had to have seen this coming. Once you open the door to the protesters, you let the protesters take over. It's the equivalent of Bernie handing over the microphone. And now, their donations have likely dropped significantly. I don't know if I have no idea. I haven't checked the history of donations, in terms of, where they are, but that was bound to happen. The donations were going to dry up.
And just an update from the Indianapolis, the Daytona 500. Mm-hmm. Ryan Newman is in serious condition, but it is not life-threatening. If you're on social media, even if you didn't see the actual race, horrible crash at the end.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were concerned, but serious injuries, but has been reported now over the last hour and a half or so or 2 hours that the injuries are not life-threatening, which is really, really good news.
That is great news, yeah. A lot of people worried about him. A lot of the NASCAR fans tweeting about it. But certainly that is good news. The Roush team releasing a statement, and that's great news. Our thoughts and prayers are with him. Here's your forecast.
Through the early part of the day, we'll continue to see a storm system that originated in the Pacific Northwest spread snow from the upper Midwest into the Northeast later in the day today. Accompanied with this system will be rainfall from the central Midwest, Indianapolis, Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, down through the deep South where there's no more rain needed for a while. We have rain-swollen rivers that have led to flash flood watches and warnings throughout the deep South. And as that frontal boundary continues to push off to the south and east, rains will continue into Wednesday as well with the possibility of severe thunderstorms. Small pockets of snow for Colorado, Idaho, Montana, and portions of western Wyoming. Denver, Colorado, set to pick up about an inch of snow. Most of this is going to fall throughout the overnight hours, and by later today, that'll be winding down. West Coast states will be dry. Most of the central U.S. will be clear. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
They don't speak, Boomer. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
Yeah, okay.
All right. You ready to go?
No.
Yeah, looks
where
like,
are we going?
Well, we're, Mike Bloomberg's starting to get vetted a little bit.
A little.
Isn't he? Don't you think?
I think
look,
so.
Look, before we go to the audio cut that made the most noise this weekend, I'll go to the one that actually should be making the most noise this weekend.
All right. All right.
Which did not, or this past weekend. I'm sorry, but you're probably saying, Gary, it's Tuesday. It's not even close to the weekend anymore. Well, it just ended for us because we had the three-day weekend.
Right.
but here we go. Here was the, and this is from the same 2016 discussion that he was having. And when I heard this, I went, well, actually, this is the one that I would promote more than the farmers and machine operator audio cut that's been out there all this weekend. Here we go. All right.
The world is more complex than ever before. It is more dangerous than ever before because of technology and weapons and that sort of thing and free travel and that sort of thing. But the solution to our problems is more open borders, not closed borders.
Right there.
Yeah. You know, this is the it's interesting because that term cocktail socialist came up over the weekend in my brain. I was just having a discussion with myself, which I often do. But, you know, you talk about these ideas and they always sound, this is what the left has built. This is how you get to Bernie being your nominee when you really didn't want Bernie. You just needed Bernie to be strong enough to send a message, oh no, he's in the lead. But you get into this discussion about things like this. Open borders. That scares the daylights out of people. Because remember, what was it? Where they said they were saying, I think it was during the travel ban, you had a bowl of M&Ms, one of those M&Ms is poison. Are you going to sit there and eat from that bowl? The answer is no, because what they were equating was, is yeah, the overwhelming majority of people that come here are not dangerous, but the one that is, you know, you go back to the 19 hijackers or whatever it was. I mean, that was an INS problem. We talked about that back then. From 9/11. But now let's talk about coronavirus. Come and go as you please. Because the moment you start saying open borders and then you move toward that policy, I mean, I know we have porous borders, but it's not a matter of policy. It's a matter of failed policy, actually, is what it is. But you look at this. Look at this where we are right now, coronavirus. All right? The World Health Organization, CDC, all the world's greatest minds are trying to get ahead of this virus. And now you're looking at a few cases where they don't have any record of travel to Wuhan. You have a number of, again, concerns over messaging and everything else. But if you open, let's say we move to an open border policy, then all of a sudden coronavirus comes along. There will be another coronavirus, whatever the next one is.
Of course there will be.
And all of a sudden, we want to close the borders. Well, no, you can't do that. That's inhumane.
Remember, Bloomberg did not say that we need more legal immigration.
No.
Understand the word that he used. And remember, Bloomberg is the one that is supposed to come in to replace the moderates that are failing from the Democrats. We said this when we said this a couple of years ago, Democrats would call the show and be furious at us. They don't call us anymore.
No.
We were right. The Democrats are becoming the party. Excuse me. They were at that time. Mm-hmm. We said becoming. They are now the party of open borders.
Yes.
Across the entire spectrum. If there is actually a across the entire spectrum ideology of the Democrat Party, and there's the proof right there. Trump has said many times, we need more legal immigration.
Yeah.
And he's talked about there is going to be a need for more legal immigration. We're going to need to up the immigration of people into the United States legally. We're going to need it because of job creation.
Mm-hmm.
and we're going to need it because we are never going to probably ever have again a baby boomer generation where you have that kind of baby boom after a war. That's not going to happen. And women coming into the workplace as they did by the tens of millions after World War II, all the way through, you know, basically 2000, where I believe now that they're probably, it's close to being 50-50 in the workplace now. I believe it might even be a little bit more women. I'll have to check on that. But as we know, women are solidly entrenched in the workplace today. That's not going to happen again. So Trump has talked about it. There's a difference between saying we need more legal immigration and we need open borders. The message is completely different. So I viewed that as the most controversial thing that came out from that speech this weekend. Here is one that got the most play, all right?
All right.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right. This is Bloomberg talking about, and we've done this before, we've talked about how we change from an agricultural economy to an industrial economy, now to a more, information, service and information society. That's where we're going into. We probably, I'm going to guess, we probably, Eric, explained it a little bit differently than Mike did.
Yeah.
I didn't say
I
Michael.
So. Yeah.
No, I said Mike.
Mike. Mm-hmm. It's Mike.
It's
yes.
Mike now.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right.
And we could teach processes. I could teach anybody, even people in this room, so no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn. Then we had 300, you could learn that. Then you have 300 years of the industrial society. You put the piece of metal on the lathe, you turn the crank and the direction of the arrow, and you can have a job. And we created a lot of jobs. 98% of the world worked in agriculture today. It's 2% in the United States. Now comes the information economy. And the information economy is fundamentally different because it's built around replacing people with technology. And the skill sets that you have to learn are how to think and analyze. And that is a whole degree level different. You have to have a different skill set. You have to have a lot more gray matter.
There you go. A lot more gray matter.
Yeah.
And that's the problem when you play it in its entirety, even though he is going through something that we have talked about before. And it's where you get into the condescending bit of it is not because a lot of people were trying to justify. Look, he was talking about the process of where we have evolved as a society. But when he started talking about the farmers, number one, that it's, you know, simply throwing it, even 200 years ago, farming wasn't just throwing the seed in and throwing dirt over it. Anybody knows that's an idiotic statement to make. 200, 300, probably 500 years ago, it was not. But you look in the modern history, no. Farming was a small business.
Oh, yeah.
You had to be good at analyzing. And the point when he gets to the information that you need to be able to, you know, analyze and do things like that. And then he went, forget about it. I've never been a farmer, but I have been a lathe operator and I have been a machinist. And as I've said many times before, there's always been this thing, and I believe primarily on the left, that will look at things like if you were a blue collar worker, or you were a machinist, or a tool and die maker, or an automobile mechanic today, that those are simply, well, you know, those are blue collar jobs, and so you need to stick to that because you're not college material. And I've said many times before, any good machinist, any farmer left today that's, you know, not part of a major corporation and competes every day, anybody who does those kinds of things, an automobile mechanic today could breeze through most college courses.
Oh, yeah.
And to say that, you know, they don't have what it takes to analyze, or there's a completely different skill set, you may have to change what you're looking at if you decide to go from that business to another business. You may have to train your mind in a different way, but so would you if you were, you know, in a high-tech job and had to become a machinist. But to say that a lathe operator is just throwing the piece in and following an arrow is just absolutely idiotic. Now, even if your defense is from him, but we know what he was trying to say, and it might have just come out wrong, all I have to say is this. Bloomberg is the one who says poor people should pay taxes because they're too stupid to spend their money on the right things, and they will buy things that will harm them, and therefore the government should take their money in order to ensure that their money is spent correctly by Big Brother. You take the totality of it, and I believe that the condescension that was shown towards farmers and industrial workers and machinists is the condescending that is Mike Bloomberg.
Well, it's very much alive on the left. It has been for quite some time. And it's not surprising to hear it. It's, in fact, it almost sounds old school when you think about how condescending they have been. Go back to 2016 in the liberal media right after the election. Well, maybe we need to go to the heartland. And then, you know, of course, they sobered up and said, no, we're not going to do that. They went full on liberal. You look at the minds that of, you know, the jobs that are necessary, the jobs that we need. Imagine a society with no plumbers, modern day plumbing alone. Imagine a society with no electricians, and imagine a society. I always go back to Richard Ranke, Ranke Irrigation Systems and Farming. He was a self-taught engineer. Family had about 500 acres in Byron, Nebraska. He was the youngest of 12 kids. At the age of 15, he started buying engineering books. And he started designing irrigation systems because the family needed, you know, to again, make sure that their crop was going to, you know, be there for them every single year. And he became a self-taught engineer. You know, when you start this condescension, you need to take a break. You need to get off your high horse so you can look somebody in the eye and actually ask them a question about what they do for a living. Remember Hillary. It was the week that Bernie wanted to kill trucking jobs and put everything on rail. Hillary wanted to kill all the coal jobs. And, of course, you know, her predecessor or would-be predecessor, her old boss, Obama, is actually the one that did that. But then Obama was killing oil jobs. He wanted to, you know, all the offshore drilling.
You know, those oil jobs, all you do is poke a hole in the ground.
Anybody can do that. Just get a helmet and stand by.
Right, get a helmet. Look, Bruce Willis did it.
Sure, it'd be perfectly safe, by the way.
In Aerosmith's Daughter's movie.
Yes.
So, you just poke a hole in the ground. And plumbing, come on.
We can get, it's just a hole in the ground.
Yeah, you just replace pipes.
Yeah, right.
Talk show host.
Exactly.
You just yap all night.
You just yap. You know, it really is.
No, Dallin. Well, maybe one of those is correct.
Well, I mean, maybe one. Yeah. I think it's the plumber thing.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You start, this is what I had to learn. I'm still learning it. You slow down on the yapping thing and you start listening a little bit more to the stories, which is how I learned the Richard Ranke story, which is how I've learned a number of different stories about people behind the wheels of big rigs, or people who are cops or nurses or whatever it might be. The blue collar jobs are the ones that take care of a society. They're the ones that make all of these conveniences necessary. Again, we can have the discussion about going from a industrial society to more of a technology society, but that's not what is going on with Bloomberg. As you mentioned, this is a pattern.
It's a pattern. Yeah.
And it's condescending. And it's, and by the way, it's coming back to him.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll take a look at some of the polls out there. I'm just chuckling because during the break, Eric looked at me and just said, where do the Democrats go from here? And well, I looked at him, I said, you and I have been talking about that since, what, 2014, 2015, oh, yeah, saying they eventually have to moderate in some way, and they've gone in the opposite direction.
You know, you see the far left, and they're leading the party. You have to cater to the far left. And I don't know how you turn that around to win major elections. Now, it'll happen in districts. It'll happen, you know, I mean, AOC. They may retain the House. But how do you make that work in a presidential cycle, election cycle? How do you make that work? I mean, you look at what's going on right now. Bernie is in part, I believe, a protest vote against the establishment Democrats. Mm-hmm. He also has his very core base. But then you've got Biden. What are they promoting? What are they actually promoting in the Democratic Party right now?
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour brought to you by Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Hey, let's listen to this.
Some people say, well, taxes are regressive. But in this case, yes, they are. That's the good thing about them, because the problem is in people that don't have a lot of money. And so higher taxes should have a bigger impact on their behavior and how they deal with themselves. So I listen to people saying, oh, we don't want to tax the poor. Well, we want the poor to live longer so that they can get an education and enjoy life. And that's why you do want to do exactly what a lot of people say you don't want to do. The question is, do you want to pander to those people, or do you want to get them to live longer? And there's just no question. If you raise taxes on full sugary drinks, for example, they will drink less. And there's just no question that full sugar drinks are one of the major contributors to obesity, and obesity is one of the major contributors to heart disease and cancer and a variety of other things.
By the way, who's getting an education in their 40s and 50s? If you're talking about living longer to get an education.
Right. Yeah.
But if you want Michael Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
My mind, Mike or Michael? Michael Bloomberg is the most perfect example of arrogant, condescending, elite liberalism that there is.
Well, Beto was going to come to your door and get your guns. President Mike would come to your door and get your soda.
Understand the point he's trying to make. Yes, taxes are regressive. We want them to be regressive. We want to take from the poor their ability to buy.
Yes.
Their spending ability.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't take away the poor's ability to spend, they'll buy crap that will hurt them. And it's our job to ensure that they live longer. And so we need to take from them money so they cannot make the decisions that they wish to make in a free society.
Yes, that's it. We know better than you.
Am I wrong?
Nope.
Am I reading what Bloomberg says wrong in any way?
No.
No. We live in a free society. We live in a free, to give an example, we live in a free society. I mean, by that case, after the crash at Daytona yesterday, we should ban auto racing.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
Why would government allow an activity where people have a great chance of getting injured? Mm-hmm. Football would have to go.
Oh, yeah.
Look how many people get injured
in
football, the injuries in football. And it's just the condescending attitude from these people. We live in a free society. people do things that are high risk. Now, should they be accountable for it or higher risk? Should they be accountable for it? Because on that level, should government dictate all the food that you eat? By the way, where does that go back to?
Let's see. Obamacare. The whole idea of, again, the government knows what to do with your money better than you do. And this is exactly because it's funny. Taxing billionaires more. Well, the billionaires saying, no, tax the poor people more.
Think about this.
Yes.
He is everything that the left claims that they hate.
Mm-hmm.
And he's moving up to the top. But
yeah,
here's a
right.
billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Trump isn't even saying that.
No.
Trump isn't saying tax the poor people.
No.
Bloomberg is on record. Tax the poor people, and specifically tax the poor people, because we can't trust them to do the right thing. And we know it will hurt them more if we tax them. They'll have a lot less ability to have the freedom to buy the crap that's killing them.
Yes. Right.
Wow.
And think about it. Everything is inherently dangerous. The left wants to be your superhero and take that soda cup away from you, take the red meat away from you, meat altogether, take it away from you. And so it doesn't matter what you decide. It's going to be the wrong decision in terms of you spending your own money. This goes back to, this goes right back to the soda cup thing.
Yeah. He brought it up.
The Freedom Card. And I said, okay, great. Because 42% of New Yorkers supported the idea on that soda cup size ban. 42%. And we said, okay, great. You guys want to go and turn in your Freedom Card, go ahead. I'm going to keep mine. I'm going to keep my Liberty Card. If you think that soda's killing you and it's bad for you, go ahead.
And you
quit drinking it.
And you can't control yourself?
Well, remember, what it was Mika. Wow, this goes back a ways, too. Back when Bloomberg was also during his term as mayor, talking about limiting the salt in restaurants, how much salt they could use. Well, we need the government to do that because we can't help ourselves. I can.
Well, that's why anybody who's looking at Bloomberg and thinking, okay, he was the one that would be the moderate in the bunch. Wow. Listen to that philosophy that mm-hmm. he has for taxing the poor.
Mm-hmm.
The poor specifically have to be taxed. Why? They're idiots and they can't control their lives.
Right.
And so we need to tax and definitely tax the poor more because they have less expendable income. Therefore, the more we tax them, the less ability they will have of any other economic demographic to buy crap and not live as long as we'd like them to live because we'd like them to live our way. And so we're going to dictate to them by pulling their hard-earned money away from them and coming up with government programs to help you live your life that you don't know as an adult how to live right.
It's the equivalent of him holding out his big government hand, and when you fork over those taxes, he says, there, I just saved your life.
Exactly. I'm not taxing you.
Mike's a superhero.
I'm not taxing you. I'm saving your life.
Man, he's practically Tony Stark.
So I think it's important to bring that up, that you have to take the totality of a Mike Bloomberg when people try to defend him, for example, on the farmers, because mm-hmm. I know what the general discussion was on. We've talked about it before. But you have to understand that that part's condescending. Mm. That part's condescending, and it's meant to be condescending because that's how he thinks. And you get right to the heart of what he thinks right there in that comment that can be taken no other way.
Right.
If you don't have a lot of money, You shouldn't be given the opportunity to save a lot of money or to keep a lot of money.
Right.
Especially if you're poor, because you're an idiot and you'll spend it on crap that will kill you. And I'm your daddy and it's my job to take care of you, because you as an adult can't take care of yourself. Is that the country you really want to live under, Democrats?
I'd love for him to have a debate with another millionaire, a billionaire rather, a liberal billionaire, Warren Buffett, who drinks like 10 cherry Coca-Colas a day.
know.
You know, because Warren Buffett has talked about that, talked about in a different type of taxation, billionaires should have to pay more. Well, there's a way for you to do that. And the investment tax and the capital gains tax and everything else, and that debate back and forth in terms of the income tax versus capital gains tax. But I love it, because go ahead, Mike, call your buddy, Warren Buffett, who's going to turn 90 this year, who drinks, I don't know what it is. It's several cherry Cokes a day. He survives on a really horrible diet and seems to be in decent health.
Well, I like the way that you put it. Think of any other, you want radical,
mm-hmm.
think of any other billionaire
mm-hmm.
running for president
mm-hmm.
or anybody running for president, but specifically a billionaire
mm-hmm.
who is saying, no, we need to tax the poor more.
Right.
Because
as a Democrat.
Right. As a Democrat, because it is regressive. He said it.
Yes.
Which means it hurts them.
Yes.
It doesn't help them. It hurts them. But the intent is to hurt them and to hurt their financial situation, because they can't be trusted with their own money.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how backwards the party is. They're all over the place. They're all over the place. The billionaire's screaming, no, tax the poor more. While the rest of the party is saying, no, Mike, tax you guys more. And by the way, he's more billionaire than anybody there.
Yeah.
More than Trump.
More billionaire.
He's more billionaire than Trump. He's more billionaire than Tom Steyer. He's up there. He's got some money. You know, that's the thing, is that, you know, he's... And what do you do? How awkward is it when Elizabeth Warren walks in the room and it's Tom Steyer, Mike Bloomberg, and Elizabeth Warren? So, how about the XFL, huh? I mean, what do they talk about? But this is the insanity that is that pool of candidates right now. You got everybody else screaming, no, tax the billionaires more. And he's screaming, no, tax the poor more. They don't know what to do with their money. They're too stupid.
And I'm the biggest billionaire.
I'm
Democrats. We want him.
Yes. Mike, he's more billionary.
All right. If you want to get in, we'd love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on driver wellness. Set regular workouts. A workout regimen that produces results requires regularly scheduled exercising, and we're not talking once or twice a week. Once you've dedicated yourself to a workout plan, the next step is to establish a schedule, a routine. And to get the most out of your workout plan, your schedule should include at least 3 or 4 sessions a week. Another important step is to incorporate the workout into your schedule. Try to get your workouts in at the same time every day. Get into a routine so that it just becomes part of your day, like brushing your teeth or scheduling a rest break. By committing to a schedule, you have a better chance of making the regimen last a long time. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Let's head to you. We've been talking about Bloomberg, who started getting vetted more over the weekend, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. We've said it from the very beginning when some of the audio starts coming out, and the audio came out about him talking about taxing the poor, we went, well, that's the ultimate. If you're any Democrat, you just play that over and over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I think we need to tax the poor.
Right.
We go to Scott in Chicago. Scott, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks.
I have a hard time taking advice from a guy who's a candidate in a party that needed to count from Sesame Street to figure out their voting issues in Iowa. You know, and of all places, a farming state. I mean, really, who's going to take you seriously if you screw it up out there, right?
But, well, again, remember, he is considered the outsider.
Mm.
Bloomberg's considered the outsider to the Democrat Party. He's even been called the former Republican, who is now a Democrat. And, you know, he wasn't part of Iowa at that particular time, is how they would say it. That,
right.
You know, he is the option. He is not part of the Democrat establishment.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they would play it.
Yeah. It's, you know, again, it's funny because I'd love to see this with the story still going around and the rumors still going around about Hillary being his Veep pick. And that was kind of squashed toward the end of the weekend, but I would love to ask her, should we tax the poor more or the billionaires more?
Well, what got me in that one when had come out, obviously they were planning a trial balloon. Mm, then they pulled back on it a little bit. But the fact is, if he's going to do it, you need to pull the trigger on that now.
Well, this is where if you believe that's going to work for you, you're not going to do that. You're not going to wait to convention because you're not going to get to convention. You're not going to have the delegates there. If you promise that it would be, I don't know, kind of like a rematch. But here's the thing. Because the school, and I'm with you on that. I think it is a trial balloon, but the school of thought is that things are the same as they were in 2016, that she has that kind of support. Because if she did, she would have run.
Mm-hmm.
You know they were doing internals. You know they were exploring it. And she would have run. So if this is, I don't know, I guess it would be a regret choice, right? That she regrets not getting in. And that's why she would accept the Veep seat, right? She should have gotten in. But again, you have to believe that she has the same political pull. I think, actually, if he announced tomorrow that she would be, if he gets the nomination, she will be his Veep pick, I think it energizes Bernie's campaign. I think it does more damage to the Democratic Party, because it will look like the rich, elitist, establishment Democrats, and Bernie's core does not forget 2016.
Well, what? Of course, we always wonder what's going on internally. Mm-hmm. Did they know internally, or did they take initial polls and do focus groups on, well, what if I chose?
Right.
Because believe me, he's got the money to do focus groups and internal polling.
Yeah.
You know, what if Bloomberg chose Hillary and it polled pretty good? So they decided to announce it to see what the response would be. But he pulled back on it so quickly within a day that there's no way they could focus group it that quickly afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened where he sort of pulled back and said, well, you know, we haven't come to that, you know, that part yet? Because the only reason you would do this now, because look, everything from Bloomberg is Super Tuesday. Everything.
Yes.
If he can pull in, if he can win some states or poll extremely high, that's what he wishes to do. So if you believe she's going to be the person to put you over the top, that the focus groups have told you, yeah, that would do it, because Hillary, you know, it's her time to be vice president. I don't know. The reasoning would be. It makes no sense. That then he would say, okay, let's do it. Because if you're going to do it, you do it now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because if you're going to do it and she would agree to do it, maybe that's the problem.
Mm. Right.
I'm not going to settle for second. But because if she'd be with me on the campaign trail. I don't know if I'd let her go out on her own and speak alone.
Mm. Yeah, no, no,
just
probably
just,
not.
Just smile and wave.
But a lot of the focus would be from the media. They would want to interview her. Right?
You know, probably take away from nobody want to talk to Bloomberg
right,
anymore.
Nobody wants to talk to Mike anymore.
And then the question is, all these audio cuts keep coming up. Maybe it should be Hillary instead of Bloomberg.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a No Malarkey Morning. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
All right. Let's look at some of the polls, okay?
All right. What do you got?
Nevada, which is coming up, because that's the one thing we said last week. We said, who knows where to go because there's no polls.
Right.
Yeah. Now we know where to go.
Okay.
Latest polls, couple of polls out in Nevada, which is the next caucus, and February 22nd, which is, what day are we at today? Okay, 4 days from now.
Yeah.
It was a short weekend, but I lost track of time.
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday. Mm-hmm. So where we have it right now, the latest poll has Bernie with 35.
Hmm.
Next, Warren with 16.
Okay.
Buttigieg with 15. Biden is in fourth place with 14. Steyer in fifth place with 10. Klobuchar with 9. Wow. Sanders up 19. In early January, Biden was up by 1. The poll taken by the Las Vegas Review-Journal that was done 211 to 213 was a smaller half the sample of the latest poll. That one showed Sanders up by 7 over Biden and then Warren and then Steyer, then Buttigieg, then Klobuchar.
Hmm.
And the latest one, though, with double the sample size, which means probably more accurate, less of a, you know, plus or minus, shows Sanders 35 up by 19. Closest would be Warren at 16. Then Buttigieg at 15, Biden 14, Steyer 10.
Hmm. Just in the last hour or so, the 538 forecast is updated, and it's jumped now where the chance of a brokered convention is now at 38% ahead of Bernie, who is now at 35.
Well,
brokered convention number one. Again, this is a forecast, not a poll.
And then we go to the latest from South Carolina, and it would be East Carolina University poll done the 12th and the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And that has Biden plus 8 in South Carolina.
Okay.
But there really is only one other poll that came out the 26th to the 29th of January where Biden was up by 5.
Mm.
Not really much movement in this poll at all. Buttigieg went from 7 to 8.
Mm.
Klobuchar went from 2 to 7. Now, they're different polling. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
From 2 to 7 points. Steyer, a month ago at 18, down to 14.
Huh.
So in the latest poll, Biden has 28 in South Carolina. Sanders, 20. Steyer, 14. Buttigieg, 8. Warren, 7. Klobuchar, 7. You look at any of the other polls that have come out in general. You know, you and I were looking at Texas. Now, again, this poll for it's not likely voters. Mm. It's registered voters from the UT Texas Tribune. And it was done. It was a long poll done from the 31st of January until the 9th of February. Mm. And that showed Sanders 24, Biden 22. Now, the difference is the polls that have been done before, the one near the end of January from the Dallas Morning News showed Biden up 16. And by the time you get now to the poll that goes through the 9th, Sanders is up 2.
Hmm.
But in that latest poll, it's Sanders with 24, Biden with 22, Warren with 15, Bloomberg with 10, Buttigieg with 7. Again, Bloomberg in there because, as we all know, he will, you know, he will be in the Super Tuesday.
Right. And that was for the state of Texas that you just.
That state of Texas. Yep. Yes. Yes. Just looking at that for just as, you know, as an example of what was going on. And that was, that's the latest poll that has been. That has been done. Let me see. Has California got a latest poll? No, California hasn't had one yet in the month of February. So.
Wow.
And at that point, Sanders was up by 14. That was the end of January. But they have there's no new poll from them yet. But so you're getting ideas of what's going on here. And Sanders is looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Texas Tribune poll was interesting. And we, in fact, it was a fresh poll when we first brought it up last week. But it does, it makes you wonder where the momentum is for Joe. Is Joe the safer bet in a state like Texas, whereas California goes for Bernie on Super Tuesday? Is this how you get to a brokered convention? I mean, you look at that. If Bernie takes Texas and California, then Nate Silver's forecast changes drastically, obviously, but you have, if Biden wins Texas, Bernie takes California on Super Tuesday. You look at the other states there, and you could see that brokered convention coming together. The chances would greatly increase. But we'll see. Who was it that wrote the article? I forget where it was, where it was posted. Biden's not out of it yet. You know, there's still a way for Biden. When the media is saying there's still a way for Biden to get the nomination, that's when you know. When they're saying, well, they're basically telling you it's an outside chance. But if you take his momentum, he won't get any from this Saturday in Nevada. So next up, South Carolina. And he went from New Hampshire to South Carolina in terms of campaigning. He went straight to South Carolina. Part of that, I believe, is because he was losing in one of the polls, and they compared the poll between January and another one in February. Biden had dropped fairly dramatically in African-American support. And so if he's still polling well in South Carolina, he takes South Carolina. That gives him a little momentum, but he would have to take one of those big states. And it doesn't look like he would take California. I don't know where Bernie would lose from poll to poll, where Biden would gain momentum in California and Bernie would lose momentum in California. You know, compared to, because that poll, as you mentioned, is an older poll. But again, tell me where Bernie would slow down out west.
You know, you look at it, for example, Texas, you can't really say, you know, in Texas, for example, it's proportional again. So if you win by a couple, it still doesn't, you know, it's not an all or nothing state.
Right.
Which I don't believe. I know Texas, and I don't know about California, though.
Mm.
I don't believe California is either. So you could still win Texas and California, and the second place person could still be totally in contention. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that you get, I know in Texas, you only get, if you're over 15%, can you get a particular portion? If you're not, you don't pick up delegates.
Right.
So you could still, and again, that's an attempt to separate it in order to get a, you know, better influence from your state as to who's actually, you know, winning proportionally to the actual vote.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so, who knows? It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, so you could see it. I mean, either way, you could see a road to a brokered convention, right?
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, wow. March 3rd? Seriously. Who was it? Chuck Todd? You may want to call in that day for people who work during the day. It is going to be something to watch. That is going to be that will, I think, point to brokered convention or not. That Bernie gains steam. If he's got enough of it, then he carries it. Again, I just don't know where Biden does better. Bloomberg is doing better because he's spending all of his money in Super Tuesday states right now. So
you see the one with Obama this weekend?
Mm. Oh, the ad? Yeah.
First thing I thought was, is Obama endorsing him? Did I miss? Now, I was traveling, so right. I wasn't sure.
Right.
Obama hasn't endorsed him.
Well,
but it came as close as an Obama endorsement could in a commercial, did it not?
That's funny because I wondered the same thing. And then you pair that with a story that, you know, he may be considering Hillary as his VP. Well, then the Obama endorsement has to go to Bloomberg, not Biden? Or does it go to Biden? Or is there no endorsement? Does Obama do what the newspapers are doing?
I saw the Dallas Morning
News.
Nevada. No endorsement.
Yeah, we're not going to endorse anybody. We're not getting in this. You know, I actually think for the media, I don't know about the Culinary Union, could be the same too, but I think really for the media, it's more about what? We don't want to pick because we know when we do, we'll get called out.
Yeah.
So we'll pick two. Yeah,
right.
And make sure that one is a female.
Or none.
No endorsement.
Dallas Morning News.
Right.
We're not going to pick one.
Yeah, we're not going to pick one.
We're Why? Staying out of it.
Exactly. Because they know the flack that would come back, you know, to them. You know, I mean, if it were clear. Well,
Is this the ultimate end game of victim oppressor mentality that exists from liberalism today?
Well, think about that. If Bernie were right now, I mean, if he were shaping up to become the presumptive nominee, if the polls in California, Texas, South Carolina, they were all heavily in his favor, would they still pick no one? Because the media has been fairly harsh on Bernie, and it's really not so much that they're bashing him, but they're doing these stories like Politico's doing, where he can't win. And they're talking to people, and the shape of the story basically is, and the narrative in the story is that the Democrats don't want him to win. One of the latest over the weekend from Politico was focusing on the state of Texas and how they don't want him to win. So if Bernie's the presumptive nominee after Super Tuesday, if it looks like he's going to get to 50, do you have more of the media saying, yeah, we're staying out of it? We're not going to jump in this. It's very interesting to watch. Very interesting to watch.
And
don't forget, Trump is also running for re-election. You know, I mean, sometimes you do. You would think that this would all be about Trump. Of course, it's a primary, but it is just interesting how the focus has really been about, mm-hmm. you know, the what Obama called it, the circular firing squad. That's exactly what they've become.
You asked earlier, you said to me, what do Democrats actually stand for? And it's like, I don't know.
What do they stand for?
It's who knows?
This is the problem they have right now.
Except for being anti-Trump, open borders.
Right.
Let's be honest now. Anti-Trump,
yep. Right.
Open borders,
right.
And abortion up to the point of birth, and will be very gray on a couple of minutes after birth.
Right.
Or
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Right.
What is it?
What are they promoting?
And
what are they championing
and
right now?
And can you win based on those are the things that you're solidly against?
Right.
Or four open
yeah.
borders and you
right.
know, and four.
Yeah, take Trump off the table. The anti-Trump vote is a given. What are they promoting? Right. What do they stand for?
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Just in case you might not know, we will tell you the Super Tuesday states are Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia. 40% of the U.S. population also includes Democrats abroad. And American Samoa.
Hmm.
So just so you know.
All right.
That's where they are. Coming up following the top of the hour, Andrew McCabe will not be prosecuted for his lies. Hmm. By the way, lies that he admits to.
Yeah, right.
He said he apologized for it.
Hmm.
And we will talk about when justice is not applied equally.
Right.
That's really the situation that you have here because, like, nobody's denying that Andrew McCabe didn't lie.
Right.
We all know Andrew
McCabe. Not even
McCabe.
Him. He's not denying
no,
it.
No, we know Andrew McCabe
yeah.
lied. Well, actually did over the weekend.
Hmm.
But it's like, well, now you're lying about what you said before.
Hmm.
So we'll get to that. But Hillary also, remember, with the emails.
Right.
So
yes.
We'll get to that more on the way.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Oh, did you see that? You see that John Legend, the singer, who's called a global warming hardliner.
Yeah.
Telling everybody what we must do to save the planet.
Right.
He and his model wife flew 500 miles on a private jet just to dine at a restaurant for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but you need to take the money from the poor because they keep making bad decisions with it.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Now, see, does Bloomberg, should we take money away from entertainers if they are going to be hypocritical on climate change?
Yes.
Because remember, Bloomberg is saying he's the guy for climate change.
Yeah, right.
So if he's going to take away, if Bloomberg believes that the poor should be taxed because they're idiots.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, I'm not saying that.
He's saying that, basically.
Right. Because they're idiots and they don't know how to run their own life, then if there are celebrities out there preaching against climate change and they take a private jet anywhere, should there be a huge tax on that? A climate tax on celebrities who are, imagine writing that into the tax law, celebrities who claim or get on their celebrities who got, I could write this, celebrities who get on their high horse about climate change, but then are absolute hypocrites by buying yachts and flying on private planes to dinners.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
we'll be taxed $1 billion.
Jeff Bezos announcing he's going to spend $10 billion of his own money to fight climate change. Right after it was announced that he spent a record amount on a new home. Who knows what that thing cost to cool and heat and the energy spent.
What that carbon footprint is. Remember, it all has to be landscaped.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It all has to. It's not going to be. Is his whole lot going to be forever wild?
Exactly. Right.
If not, because from what I hear, it is just meticulously landscaped.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's okay.
Well, you and I had this discussion. Just think about this. I'll ask the question first, and then we'll answer it.
All right.
If he really is going to donate or invest $10 billion
mm-hmm.
to stop global warming,
mm-hmm.
climate change,
mm-hmm.
what would be the most effective use of that $10 billion?
Dun, 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 investing dun, in natural dun, gas and fracking.
Dun, 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 dun. I don't know. I don't know what the buzzer would be for being right. Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That would be by what we know right now, from what came out last week, the only nation, the nation that is just so far past everybody in the reduction of CO2 emissions is the United States because of one thing and one thing only.
Fracking
and natural gas.
Because remember back in the day, it was T. Boone Pickens was looking for, he was asking for $15 billion from the federal government to
wind, right?
For natural gas.
Oh, was it natural gas?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was natural gas, I believe. I have to go back. But he wanted, he did get into wind, but they were looking at natural gas. And remember, he even talked about how Ahmadinejad, the leader at that time of Iran, was investing in natural gas for his military vehicles. I said, well, that's because he's afraid of being cut off from the rest of the world, who helps to refine, of course, their oil back into fuel. So, different reason, a little bit different. And by the mm-hmm. way, you might not want to bring up Iran as the poster child here for leading the way in natural gas infrastructure. But he was looking for $15 billion of federal dollars to build the infrastructure. Well, I would say to Jeff Bezos, go ahead. Go invest in natural gas. Go team up with the big oil companies. That'll get you some street cred. But if you really want to do it, because he said, I want to invest in things that are known to help, and also research of things that we, you know, to look into things that we haven't learned yet.
Fracking.
Go with the known items.
Go with
right?
the known, yeah.
Go with what you know is working.
Right. Media was awfully quiet about that story last week, weren't they?
Yeah.
You didn't really hear much about it.
No. No, they know about the CO2 emissions.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
The United States, number one.
Yeah.
And a dominant number one over the last, in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And a super dominant number one since 2000 in the reduction of CO2 compared to any other of the countries that exist out there. And why? Because of the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with government. Nothing.
Yes. Barack Obama, you didn't build that.
Yeah, but the economy is his.
No, of course. He's trying to take, and I saw that all over social media over the weekend. No, Obama, you didn't build that. And it's so funny, too, because he spoke after he was president, and he tried to take credit for the increase in oil production.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Yeah,
man, they're just all, and they wonder why they can't. They wonder why they can't pick a candidate.
Well, but we asked about that. If climate change was so important, And we know, because we know what President Obama tried to do and succeeded in doing. He's the one that stopped wherever he could by federal edict, by the executive branch, and the power that they have. He attempted and succeeded from federal land the expansion of drilling for oil and natural gas.
Right.
Where he has authority. He didn't have authority over private land and state land, and that's where the huge boom came. He tried to do everything to stop it, and he promoted it. And then after being, remember, it was, he was out of office like a year,
right?
Wasn't he? He was doing a speech, and he was like, you know, hey, it's all me.
Right.
this all happened. The beginning of this revolution started with me.
It's right.
So now you're taking credit for destroying the planet?
Right.
I mean, what?
Exactly.
And so it's just you, we ask the question seriously, what are the issues? You can look at Trump and the Republican Party, and you can see that the issues that they're concerned about are, number one, the economy, reducing taxes. Whether you agree with it or not, you can specify what it is.
Right, what they're actually promoting.
Right, reducing taxes, except for Eric and Gary's.
Yeah, jerks. Stupid Republicans.
Reducing regulations.
Right.
Right. We know that that the belief is grow the private sector. And if we grow the private sector and have better trade deals, right, whether you agree with all of it or not, they are specific on the things that they wish to do, which will make the economy better. As we said before, make America great from the very beginning. Whether you agreed with that or not, make America great was about the economy. It was economic from the beginning.
Right.
The other thing is illegal immigration.
Yes.
Not legal. He has been clear on it. He is for more legal immigration. More. Illegal immigration specifically. And so you can look at that and say, okay, that's pretty. And some of the social issues, like abortion, which surprised a lot of people. I was telling you, was it last week or the week before, I was reading an article saying, all you fundamentalist Christians, you're being fooled by this guy. He's really pro-choice. He's not pro-life. But that's not how he's acting.
Right.
And that's not what he's promoting in what the federal government is doing. It's like, you people are all fools. He's fooling you. Well, if you truly believe that, then your conclusion would be he's fooling himself, but he's not fooling anybody else.
He's still working in the interest that I support.
Right.
In terms of his work.
Right. So, and I think people know, we've talked about it before on the things that he has said in the past in his book about that. And many people are pleasantly surprised. If you're saying he's doing it just to get reelected again,
still works in my interest.
And on the Democrats, it's still climate change, race, open borders, unlimited abortion, and a gray area as to how long after birth because of the whole northern situation. Oh, by the way, the vote taken in Virginia, assault weapons.
Right.
Got to make sure we mention that.
Right.
So many things happened over the weekend. It's just popped into my mind now. Wow. Democrats crossed over and said, nope, can't do it.
Yep.
If they had passed that, how damaging that would have been to the Democrats. I think some Democrats understood that.
Yeah.
It still may be damaging to the Democrats.
Well, it could be because, again, the fact that it got that far in the first place. Yes. But, this is this is kind of where we are as a nation. You can look at the Republican Party, and you have varying degrees of conservatives to moderates.
Moderates.
But the party is promoting something. You know what they believe in. You know, it's interesting because we go back to the Kavanaugh hearings and where Lindsey Graham, it was kind of a reawakening for him. Think about that. I think the Trump years have, as these years have really served for a number of those Republicans who weren't as loud. And now they realize you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight for what you believe in, to preserve what we already have, and to gain more for the American people. But, you know, that's the whole thing about it, is that, like the Wall Street Journal found when they went into Harlem the day after the election, well, she was talking about things, you know, they were asking people just randomly, why do you think he won and she didn't? Well, she was promoting things outside this country. He was talking about this country. He was promoting things about the U.S. That's what it comes down to. Then this far left elitist attitude, how dare you? How dare someone who wants to lead a country put that country first?
Did you use Thunberg on purpose, or was that not related to Thunberg?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah,
okay.
No.
Okay.
I've been saying it longer than she has.
You have been.
But it is that's it. That is, you know, where we are. And the far left believes that it's wrong, to the point of course, now he's the Antichrist, you know? And how dare you promote things here at home? And I think what they're learning is, how dare you resonate with the American people? We'll see where it ends up on November 3rd. But right now, again, it's still this president's election to lose.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. A whole bunch of different stories out there. Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz said Sunday he has proof that former President Barack Obama personally asked the FBI to investigate someone on the behalf of George Soros, the liberal billionaire donor. Dershowitz's claim came soon after Attorney General Bill Barr openly asked President Trump to stop tweeting about ongoing Justice Department matters, saying it made it impossible to do his job. There was a lot of White House control of the Justice Department during the Kennedy administration, and I don't think we saw very many liberal professors arguing against that, Dershowitz said in an interview with Breitbart News. He said, I have some information as well as about the Obama administration, which will be disclosed in a lawsuit at some point, but I'm not prepared to disclose it now, about how President Obama personally asked the FBI to investigate somebody on behalf of George Soros, who was a close ally of his. He did not say specifically who the target might have been. Dershowitz added, we've seen this kind of White House influence on the Justice Department, virtually in every Justice Department. The difference is President is much more overt about it. He tweets about it.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama whispered to the Justice Department about it, and I don't think these 1,000 former Justice Department officials would pass the shoe on the other foot test. Maybe some of them would, but a good many of them would not. Constitutionally, Dershowitz said the president could make a decision to really control the Justice Department and decide specifically whom to prosecute and not to prosecute. The former member of Trump's impeachment defense team clarified, however, that wouldn't be a good move. He shouldn't do it. It hasn't been done since Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson did do it. We've seen this throughout our history. So there you go.
Making the point that there's been influence from the top down,
right.
You know, in previous administrations over history, but I believe Dershowitz, if indeed that lawsuit ever goes anywhere, I believe Dershowitz when he says he's got proof.
Well, Wall Street Journal talking about the whole thing about the Democrats and Trump. Well, he's an idiot, or he is this superb tactician here who was able to manipulate everybody in his administration to do exactly what he wants.
Right.
He goes, that's most amusing is a liberal depiction of Trump, who was manipulating everybody in secret. Usually the line is, he's an idiot. Our experience is that with Mr. Trump, you see what you get, in private and public, for better or worse. This is a White House that can't keep a secret, much less run a conspiracy.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's a great point. Well, we've talked about how he really doesn't have a problem talking to the media. Sometimes we wish he wouldn't talk as much, but he engages with the media because he's not afraid to answer any questions. He's not. Again, engaging with them and going down rabbit holes with them, we wish he wouldn't do that from time to time, but he's been very open. You want to talk about a transparent person. I don't think he... Here's what I'm wondering. Why hasn't he just blurted out everything about Area 51 already? I mean, knowing who he is, he's not afraid to talk about anything. Of course, he's not going to talk about national secrets, but to get to the extent that they believe he's, you know, some grand conspirator. Look, presidents have pull, but, you know, they want you to believe he's this evil genius, but also an idiot at the same time, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's your forecast.
Through the early part of the day, we'll continue to see a storm system that originated in the Pacific Northwest spread snow from the upper Midwest into the Northeast later in the day today. Accompanied with this system will be rainfall from the central Midwest, Indianapolis, Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, down through the deep South, where there's no more rain needed for a while. We have rain-swollen rivers that have led to flash flood watches and warnings throughout the deep South. And as that frontal boundary continues to push off to the south and east, rains will continue into Wednesday as well, with the possibility of severe thunderstorms. Small pockets of snow for Colorado, Idaho, Montana, and portions of western Wyoming. Denver, Colorado, set to pick up about an inch of snow. Most of this is going to fall throughout the overnight hours, and by later today, that'll be winding down. West Coast states will be dry. Most of the central U.S. will be clear. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by the TruckSmart mobile app from Travel Centers of America. Download TruckSmart today to get what you need when you need it.
Powerful people, corrupt and arrogant, who think they can get away with anything. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
Yeah. Because we can.
He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, some audio cuts here. You ready for the
first one? Let's go.
Now, Bernie in Nevada campaign rally over the weekend, and this is because early voting has already started, encouraging people to go out and vote. So he's up on stage. He's introduced by de Blasio, just introduced. Woman jumps on stage, physically grabs the microphone from him.
Yep.
And then he turns around and walks away, and then her microphone's eventually turned off. But this was part, she wasn't topless, but this was the topless animal rights protesters.
Okay.
I don't have an analogy. Anybody figure out why animal rights protesters decide to go topless? What is there a point to this that I'm missing?
Because dogs always go topless and cats always go topless?
No. Okay. But yeah. Here we go. All right. All right. Here we go.
Bernie, I'm your biggest supporter. Bernie, I'm your biggest supporter. And I'm here to ask you to stop propping up the dairy industry and to stop propping up animal agriculture. I believe in you.
And then they shut off her microphone.
Yeah.
It got shut up.
Right.
All right. She didn't grab his, but she physically grabbed his, and there was another microphone that she grabbed off the podium that was there, apparently also on.
Okay.
But the one she was pulling two or three times. We've asked this before. Where's his security? Who gets on stage?
Well, I mean, because right now he's, look, it doesn't matter. You know, they all got to have their level of security. Apparently, Biden is his own security.
Well, yeah,
he can do push-ups. But I wonder the same thing. In 2016, you know, he gave up the entire podium at one of his rallies.
Now, we understand they don't have Secret Service protection.
No, Secret Service, but their own security.
Right. I would have my own security. You're still a sitting senator out doing, somebody who has run for president again. You're running again. I'd have better security. Because anybody can just jump on stage. They could have wailed away at him. The people that came up to help him didn't seem like security to me.
No.
But the fact is, you should see the look at it. She's pulling at him. It was a tug of war. Right. And then he grabs it. He takes his arm and he throws it the other way and holds onto it. And then she grabs the other microphone.
Right.
Just greatness.
What's interesting here, too, is, of course, the demonstration that even if you're Bernie, I'm your biggest supporter, but I've got a problem with you.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
You know, and it is.
What we said.
It's not like the fundamental, problems that people face every day. In other words, I want a better opportunity or a better economy, chance at a better job, or I want you to cut taxes or something like this. These are the protesters. These are the activists that there's no appeasing them.
Eh, look, they probably have Hollywood idolatry towards Joaquin. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
Of what happened last week.
Maybe. But it is, it really is.
Dairy.
Yeah, it really is insane. I mean, it is. Yeah. And watching it play out over and over again. Look, Bernie's been, I think what you're seeing with Bernie's surge right now really is a lot of protest vote. Not, I won't say the brunt of it, but there is some protest mm-hmm. vote that is going his way because the establishment. Look, if you're far left, the only corner you're going to be in right now is Bernie's. That's the only corner you're going to be in. If you're far left.
Not even Warren anymore. You see you're sinking.
No. Right.
I want to play this another audio here because there's a point to be made. ABC's Martha Raddatz on This Week with Tom Steyer. Okay. Here we go. All right.
Mr. Steyer, you say that you can take on Donald Trump on the economy, but the latest Quinnipiac National poll, again released just this week, says 70% of voters describe the nation's economy as excellent or good. So how do you convince them that a change is needed when they think they're doing so well under Donald Trump?
I think if you take a look at what he says, everything he says superficially sounds right, but is actually a lie. So when he says the economy's growing, I can show that, in fact, all the money's going to rich people. When he says unemployment is low, which is true, I can show that the wages people are getting don't support a family. And when he says that the stock market is up, these are his three big statistics. It's largely because of the huge tax break he gave to big corporations. But it also doesn't matter that much because most of the stocks, 85% of the stocks, are held by the top 10% of 10%.
But I want to go back to that 70% number. You talk about the wealthy. They're not all wealthy people. 70% say the economy is good and they're doing well.
Well, I'm just saying, here we are on a show and you're standing up for Mr. Trump's version of the economy. And I'm telling you,
About a national poll. I'm not standing up for anybody. I'm telling you about a national poll.
All right. That's where I want to say, because it's something that we've said before about messaging. There gets to a particular point. This is why we've criticized Republicans on the president and said messaging is important. Mm-hmm. Because if your messaging is good, if the programs that you put in are good and the polls come out and show that they are good, even two liberals talking,
mm-hmm.
your message still comes through. Steyer was destroyed on This Week by Martha Raddatz on the economy.
Right.
Because he got caught, and everybody knows that he got caught trying to change the subject.
Right.
And then accusing Martha Raddatz of bringing up a poll which says, no, this isn't the rich. These are 70% of Americans say this. Okay, now you're in Trump's camp.
Right.
I mean, this,
all of a sudden you're a Trump supporter.
If you message correctly, even the mainstream media is eventually going to give you some wins.
You know, There's a reason that a lot of the good news things go viral. You know, when someone from the military comes home and surprises a loved one at an event, and they don't know they're going to be there, and they walk out, and there's this huge surprise. And those things go viral. Good news really, really travels. But the good news that happens that affects you directly every single day resonates even more. So if the economy is better and you're feeling that, If you have more confidence, which the consumer confidence right now is good, all of that works for you. And like we said, it is doing the messaging for you over and over.
But you know what's bad? I could have answered that question.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I could have answered that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, 70% of Americans are. If I'm a Democrat, mm-hmm. Monty, if I'm a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
right, got to have the ability to argue the other side,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Can I do it? 70% of Americans? Absolutely. Because the labor market is so tight that people are getting jobs. And yes, people are out spending money, but manufacturing is getting hurt right now in this country.
Mm.
Manufacturing was down in January. Manufacturing was down the majority of the second half of last year. We're worried about manufacturing. We need to bring that up. And the president's policies on trade have hurt that. Now, am I giving you 100% of the truth? No. Am I being specific on everything? No. But does it make a point where people would say yes and you can move on to the next question?
If you assume that the liberal cares about manufacturing.
Well, but there's no other. I mean, that's the only answer you can give. There is no other. Look, the job growth rate is... It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 2.3% for last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2.3% and 2.9% the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Above what the Obama administration was doing, so you really can't argue that
mm-hmm.
over that period of time if you look at the last, you know, 2 years. But the 2.3% right. in the last three quarters of last year, basically with 2.1% or about Obama-era growth. And part of it is because of the tariffs, but you can defend the tariffs on China because you're trying to make the system better for future workers.
Right.
So, I mean, Trump still has that. I was just saying how he could answer without looking like a fool. If I was a political consultant, that's what I would tell him.
Yeah, or you just you parlay off of it and do what they normally do, and that is, but the economy isn't everything. We still have a number of issues that blah, 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 blah. But this is why the left right now can't promote anything. What do you promote? He wins on everything. He wins on the economy. He wins on border
yes,
security.
He
wins on gun control, working against more gun control. He wins on all these major core issues.
One of the, you know, we always talk about what drives consumer confidence.
Mm-hmm.
What drives consumer confidence is the fact of you have what I believe drives consumer confidence is you have the ability to spend money because you know you're going to have a job or believe you're going to have a job.
Yes. Right.
Therefore, consumer confidence goes up. The reason this economy is doing as good as it's doing right now is because people are spending.
Yeah, right.
Which means what? Consumer confidence is up, which relates to directly the 70% of people that say the economy's doing good. It all comes around.
Right.
Why is consumer confidence good? I've got a job. I've got income. I got a raise. Or I left my other job. I got a new job. And they really like me. And there's opportunity here. And I feel secure in my environment. Therefore, I'm willing to spend.
Yes. Well,
and
I
so
mean,
it's
the same kind of confidence that you have in investment from the business sector. When they have that kind of confidence, you see that investment and you see that real growth. And so the consumer confidence works in the same way. It's not as long term most of the time. But yeah, I mean, if you think about that, they're confident that the economy is doing well. They're not holding back. They're not saving those pennies.
Now, of course, my advice to Steyer doesn't cover everything because the president that can go back and say, yeah, but business investment was up December and January since we got these trade deals done, and you're going to see an increase in manufacturing coming up. So you can defend it both ways. I was just sitting there stating he didn't know what to say.
Right.
He had nothing. He was pausing.
Yeah,
he didn't know what to say. So what did he do? And think about this. You've spent $200 million, and you can't answer a question that you know is coming your way?
Right.
You think the money alone is going to do it for you?
No, you got to answer the question.
And laziness and attacks at the reporter is what's going to justify it. and you've spent this kind of money on a campaign? That's what I'm telling you what I'd say if I was his political consultant.
Right.
That you think that you can go out there with just hundreds of millions of dollars, same thing I'd tell to Bloomberg, with the history and the past that you have, and believe that you're going to walk through this unscathed?
Well, I'll tell you, it seems like more and more the liberal media is just in the president's corner, whether they want to be there or not. It is interesting to watch. Think about, you know, during a midterm year, maybe. But look at what's going on here. This is ABC News, by the way. That's ABC. And then that's the whole idea, accusing her of being a Trump supporter, essentially. That's laughable.
I know.
But,
I know.
But you see, you know, Chris Matthews after the State of the Union, Van Jones. I didn't see anybody on that debate stage tonight that can beat Trump. I mean, all of these liberals that are looking at this going, and liberal media types that are looking at this going, I wonder if they're hedging. I wonder if it's just so they can be right in November because they believe he's going to win. And they'll say, well, we warned the Democrats. We said, you know, you guys did a horrible job. So they don't have to own any of it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. All right, I have to tell you that this, when I read this story the way that it was written in the Daily Wire from Emily Zanotti, I nearly spit up my coffee.
Yeah?
You ready for this?
Okay.
Actress and political activist Jane Fonda now says she is quitting plastic surgery as part of her efforts at, quote, self-acceptance, end of quote, amid her crusade to force the Trump administration to acknowledge climate change as a threat of apocalyptic proportions.
What?
I know.
She's giving up
plastic surgery. Yes, to show how serious the environmental problem is. I don't know. Nobody can figure it out. It's, you know, that's what liberals do. I don't know what else to say.
Well, I mean, you know, there's only so much plastic surgery you can have. At some point, you're going to have to blink again. I mean, you know, your eyes are going to have to close.
I'm not going to cut my toenails, and I don't know, and until climate change.
Well, but no, ends, no, we've heard that. Know. We've heard that before. I'm going on a hunger strike. She's going on a plastic surgery strike. Shut up. Just shut up. I'm going to quit.
As part of her efforts at self-acceptance.
Which relates to climate change being what? How old is she? At that age, do I have to tell you to grow up?
She's still working on self-acceptance at her age.
Wow.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.